Good morning, everyone. This meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs will now come to order. It is now 8:01 a.m., Thursday, April 6, 2023, in Capital Room 124. Members present are Representative Ruffridge, Representative Himshute, Representative McKay, and myself, Representative McCormick. Excused today are Vice Chair McCabe and Representative Putketuk. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. Please take this time to silence your cell phones for the duration of the meeting. Thank you. Before we begin, I would like to thank Linda Jensen from the House CRNA, the House CNRA Secretary from Records, and Kelsey Riker from the Juno LIO for staffing the committee today. And today we are going to do our best attempt to hear three bills. But do we have time constraints. We only have about 30 minutes. Unfortunately, there's a meeting that's at 8:30, so we're going to do our best to try to get through these. And so initially the plan was to hear House Bill 70 first, but I think I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony for House Bill 69 and then House Bill 123. So,
Chair McCormick.
Yes, Representative Finch.
Hi. I don't know what this is. I just have a question.
Sure.
This document came without anything kind of explaining what it is. So, is this with House Bill 70 then?
Brief at ease. On the record, apologize for the mix-up there. I guess we will hear HB 70 first. That way, we can introduce it and get it on the record. Would Representative Tomaszewski Michaela Anderson, staff rep Tomaszewski, please come forward, put yourself on the record, and introduce the legislation.
Good morning, Representative Tomaszewski for the record, and my staff, Michaela Anderson. Thank you for taking the time to hear our bill. Michaela is going to give us the overview and we'll be ready for any questions you may have this morning. So I'll send it over to Michaela.
Good morning for the record, Michaela Anderson. Chief of Staff to Representative Tomaszewski. I'll just do a brief overview given our time constraints, and if there are questions about the sectional or sponsor statement or the bill, I can answer those as well, but given the time, I'll just give an overview. House Bill 70, in short, is a bill relating to municipal tax exemptions for nonprofits. The new language on page 3 and 4 clarifies language specifically related to food banks and leasing limitations. This issue was brought to the attention of our office and amidst recent municipal tax assessments. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank reached out to our office with hopes of a solution. HB 70 is a solution to a current and impending problem. By exempting parking lots owned by nonprofits that fall under Federal Tax Code 26 USC 501C to conduct business and provide for space for volunteers, we reduce a burden. By exempting the real property, including food, clothes, shelter, and health care for nonprofits that fall under the aforementioned tax code, they are providing these goods free of charge or below market value, we support their mission of helping our least fortunate. And finally, by allowing nonprofits to lease space to other nonprofits or lease space at cost in general, we provide a path to revenue so they can keep their lights on and continue their mission. Our hope with this legislation is to prevent further burden or litigation for food banks across the state. These nonprofits are a pillar of our communities and deserve our support. I'm happy to answer questions or go over the sectional. It is brief.
Thank you very much, Ms. Anderson. Are there any questions? No. Okay.
And that map the map through the chair, Representative Himshute, is all those pins are areas that the Fairbanks Community Food Bank has assisted with food through shipping. So,
thank you. Representative Himshute.
Thank you, through the chair. I'm curious if your office has spoken with any local municipalities about the impact on local revenue that this would have, or any other impacts that they've, like, have you talked to some municipalities about the impact of this?
Through the chair, Representative Hemshute, we have talked to the Fairbanks North Star Borough and are working with them on potential change in some of the language, minor changes, but some that they're more comfortable with. Other than that, we have not reached out to any other municipalities.
Uh-huh. Through the chair, I'm curious then also, how does this, and it'll probably be different for each municipality, but what are the potential impacts to education funding in terms of how the cap is related to property tax?
Through the chair, Representative Hemshute, that is a great question, and I'm happy to get back to you on that.
Representative Hemshute?
Thank you. Through the chair, is it the intent then, and I'm still learning my way around all of this, but is it the intent then that whatever, because this would be state, a state statute governing what happens at the local level and removing some of the tax base of the local level, would we then reimburse through the community assistance program to make communities whole for the loss in revenue?
Through the chair, Representative Hemshute, another great question, and we can look into that. One thing is that I can say is that, at least in Fairbanks, this was not a historic tax assessment. It was a higher one than they were used to. So as far as loss of revenue, this would be essentially present new revenue that is being sought by the borough in our interpretation.
And through the chair, Representative Komaszewski here. So the food bank has traditionally had no property taxes. This is a relatively new assessment from the assessor. And so this is historically very new, new revenue to the municipality that is under protest. And so, you know, I don't think it would really make much of a difference on what the assessment or the amount of taxes that they have received. So.
Follow up.
Thank you. Follow up. Through the chair. I'm trying to make sure I understand the issue. Is it the state assessor or the – so I guess I'm a big fan of local control, and any time that we can keep the state's hands off of it and let local decisions be made, I'm a huge fan of that. So I'm going to have to look at this a little bit more. Thank you.
Representative Ruffridge.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. Through the chair, so on page 2 – line 16, which is number 3. I'm just wondering how that language, property used exclusively for nonprofit, religious, charitable, cemetery, hospital, or educational purposes, does not already encompass the additional language. Can you explain why the additional language would be needed or is not covered already by number 3 of this section?
Through the chair, Representative Ruffridge, while our office would hope that would be the case, it is apparently not, so we're just making it explicit in statute that these other instances would be exempt.
Okay. Thank you.
Vice Chair McCabe, did you have a question?
Thanks. So through the chair, Representative Komaszewski, you're probably best equipped to. So from what I understand, this is a food bank which supplies food to needy kids, children who go to school, actually. And the city of Fairbanks is trying to place a tax on them, and they really don't make any money. We give them money to supply food, the food bank does, or Feeding America or Food Bank of Alaska. Once again, to feed kids that might have to actually go to school. And Fairbanks is trying to tax them on this?
So, yes, through the chair, Representative Komaszewski here for the record. Yes, so the food bank of Fairbanks takes in food for free. Local businesses donate food to them for free, and the food bank gives food away for free. So it is for basically, anyway, there are many agencies, churches, organizations, football teams. There's all kinds of ways that the food bank brings food and allows folks to come in and get free food. And so it's basically an organization that takes in food for free and gives it away for free.
And
you are correct.
Through the chair, Representative McCabe, just to clarify, it is the Fairbanks North Star Borough, not the city.
Sorry. Thank you. So they really don't have any income to speak of. It's not like they have people working. They don't really have anything coming in other than what's donated to them. And now all of a sudden they're going to have to go find a source of revenue, a source of income to pay taxes to the Fairbanks North Star Borough. Is that kind of the gist of it?
Yeah, as far as what income they have, I really don't know. I think mostly they work run on grants, and I don't think they generate a lot of money themselves. So I think they work mainly on grants, as far as I know.
Okay, seems kind of simple to me. Thanks.
Thank you. Would you like to go through the sectional analysis now?
For the record, again, Michaela Anderson, staff to represent Tomaszewski. In section one, we amend AS 2945-0303A to add two new subsections. I did not put on the sectional all 10 that are already in statute, so I just put the 11 and 12. 11 relates to parking lots owned by organizations that fall under Federal Tax Code 26 USC 501C. And parking lots that are used for parking or other use free of charge. So both of those. 12 adds real and personal property of stores that are operated by those organizations with the aforementioned tax code that deal exclusively with donated inventory. This includes food, shelter, clothes, health care, and are distributed at no cost to needy individuals. And then B of that 12 sells merchandise below market value to support a literacy program or program providing needy persons with, again, that food, shelter, clothes, health care, basic needs, free of charge. Section 2 amends AS 2945-03-0 to add a new subsection O, stating that organizations exempt from the formerly mentioned 11 and 12 that I just said may lease property and still qualify if they are leasing to another nonprofit that falls under those qualifications. The lease payments are not the main profit motive, and the amount charged is basically at cost. So they aren't trying to make a lot of money off of renting out their space. It's just the cost of the space. And those are the changes that we have in the bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions? Representative Hinshute.
I apologize. Another bite at the pie here. But okay, so I still have one last question through the chair. I'm going to support food banks pretty much every chance I get. I need to understand again, is it at the discretion of the Fairbanks Borough right now whether or not they tax this? So there's no state statute requiring it to be taxed. Locally, the decision could be made, and I'm not sure I'm right about that. I just want to make sure that it's a local decision to tax a parking lot.
Through the chair, Representative Hinshute, it's our understanding that at the moment it is under the discretion of local control.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. I just want to quickly note for the record, at 8:03, we were joined by Representative McCabe, and then at 8:07, we were joined by Representative Mears. Thank you for your presentation this morning. I believe that's all you have. I'll let the committee know we do have another hearing next week, and so we can ask a lot of other questions as well. So thank you very much for presenting today and getting done in a relatively quick manner. So,
thank you for the time.
Thank you.
We'll take a brief at ease while we transition. All right, we are now going to go back on the record and get to HB 69. We have a committee substitute for consideration. Vice Chair McCabe, would you be willing to make the motion introduce that substitute?
Thank you, Chair McCormick. I move that the House Community and Regional Affairs Committee adopt the blank committee substitute for HB 69 work order number 33-LS0407/Bravo as a working document.
And I will object for the purpose of discussion and to explain the changes. Mr. Sandcliffe or Representative Pronk, please introduce yourself for the record and explain some of the changes in this committee substitute.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. As Representative Mike Cronk, District 36, to my right is my staff.
Dave Stancliffe, staff to Representative Cronk. The Boundary Commission had a meeting recently, and we had a chance to discuss with them some of the issues that might make their life a little easier as this bill moves forward. Two things came to mind. They wanted some time to develop internally a better system of treating communities that fall below the 400 threshold, and we agreed to a two-year sunset to allow them to internally deal with this at their level so the legislature can stay out of their business. They also explained that it takes some time to do public notice and pull a meeting together. We had a 10-day interval in there for them to notify communities. They asked for 60, we agreed on 30, and they agreed. So everything's been negotiated out to everyone's satisfaction. There was some suggestion that short of a council or a mayor or a government making a decision, perhaps there should be an election conducted by the Division of Elections. In this case, the mayor agrees, the council agrees, the school districts agree, and the kids need to be in Yukon Koyukuk School District. So we'd urge the committee to support this so it might move along. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Sandcliffe and Representative Cronk. Are there any questions that anyone has of the CS? Hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and remove my objection. And seeing there's no objection, the committee substitute has been adopted. Representative Cronk, or Mr. Sandcliffe, do you have anything to add regarding the legislation before we open public testimony?
Through the chair, thank you, Mr. Chair. No, this bill was brought to us, or you know, we wrote this bill for the city of Tanana and mainly for the kids in Tanana. But you know, they're under contract with the Yukon Koyukuk School District now, and what the community's seeing being in that school district is so much better than what they had. And they're really excited to actually officially someday, really soon, to be actually in the Yukon Koyukuk School District as a member. So thank you for listening to what we have.
Yeah, thank you, Representative Cronk and Mr. Sandcliffe. We will now open public testimony for HB 69. So I see we have two callers on the line, but I believe they're just on for more general questions. I don't think we have anyone on for public testimony, and so I'm going to go ahead and as quick as we started. Oh, you'd like to speak to HB 69? Did you sign up outside? Okay. I know who you are, so Mr. Andreessen, if you could come forward and put your name on the record for testimony.
Sorry.
That's
fun.
Quite all right.
Thank you. For the record, Nils Andreessen, I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Municipal League. I just wanted to offer a quick testimony in support of this bill, which offers an expedited process for local governments to reclassify from first to second class. This improves local control and delivers and strengthens local government in important ways. Thanks.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Andreessen. Seeing that we don't have any more public testimony, is anyone else here to surprise me? No? Okay. We'll go ahead and close public testimony on HB 69. I will now entertain a motion to move the bill from committee.
Oh, I need to find that. Thank you, Chair McCormick. I move House Bill 69, Work Order 33-LS0407/B from committee with individual recommendations and the attached previous zero fiscal note.
Is there any objection? All right, hearing none, HB 69 now passes from committee. Now we will hear HB 123. Would Tom Wright, Staff to Representative Johnson, please come forward and put yourself on the record to recap the bill.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Tom Wright, Staff to Representative Greg Johnson. What House Bill 123 does is bring the ANGSA Corps in line with the Corporations Code, with those who formed a corporation after 1989, and allows them to have a 50% plus one threshold for amendments to the articles of corporation. Plus, it also eliminates the two-thirds threshold they're currently under.
Thank you very much, Mr. Wright. Are there any questions for Mr. Wright before we open public testimony on Bill 123? Okay, hearing none, we'll go ahead and now open public testimony for HB 123. I see first we have, let's see here, Robert Mizulich. If you could state your name for the record.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Robert Mizulich, and I'm the general counsel of the Aleut Corporation. The Aleut Corporation is one of 12 Alaska Native regional corporations formed in 1972 following the enactment of ANGSA. The Aleut Corporation strongly supports the passage of House Bill 123, which addresses the important issue of the voting threshold for an Alaska Native corporation to amend its articles of incorporation. Existing Alaska law includes antiquated carryover language from Alaska corporate law prior to the passage of ANGSA, which effectively prevents Alaska Native corporations from making amendments to their articles of incorporation. Current Alaska law requires that ANCs receive the affirmative vote of at least two-thirds of their outstanding voting shares to amend the articles unless certain narrow exceptions apply. The problem is that Alaska Native corporations are often lucky to achieve shareholder quorum counts in the high 50 to low 60% range of the total outstanding voting shares. And with this level of turnout, an articles amendment would necessarily fail under Section 504. House Bill 123 would allow Alaska Native corporations to amend their articles through a simple majority vote of the outstanding voting shares. We support the passage of Bill 123 in recognition of the unique issues facing ANCs over 50 years after the passage of ANCSA. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you very much for your testimony this morning. Next we have Susan Taylor. If you could please state your name for the record, give your testimony.
Hi, thank you. My name is Susan Taylor, and I'm the CEO for St. Mary's Native Corporation. It's a small 300 shareholder corporation located on the in the Tolista region on the near the Andresky and Yukon rivers at the confluence. I just want to briefly say that Rob covered all of what we were thinking with this bill, and I want to support the bill 123. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony this morning. Next, we have Nicholas Ostrowski. If you could state your name for the record, your affiliation, and provide your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair and other distinguished members of the committee. My name is Nicholas Ostrowski. I am the general counsel for Otten Incorporated, one of the 12 Alaska Native regional corporations. I call in support of House Bill 123. This is an important bill that will bring Native corporations in line with the Modern Corporations Code and will bring parity with the other corporations in Alaska. This legislation will help us to be more agile and efficient and to continue with our important mission to provide economic and social benefits for our Alaska Native shareholders. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much for your testimony this morning. Our last online testifier is Sarah Obed. If you could state your name for the record, your affiliation, provide your testimony.
This is Sarah Obed. I'm with Doyon Limited. I'm the Senior Vice President of External Affairs for Doyon Limited, and I'm testifying today on behalf of the ANCSA Regional Association, or ARA for short. The ANCSA Regional Association consists of the presidents and chief executive officers of the ANCSA Regional Alaska Native Corporations. We are testifying today on support of the passage of House Bill 123 introduced by Representative Johnson. ARA and the member organizations are tasked with providing for more than our 160,000 Alaska Native shareholders socially, culturally, and economically. Again, under current Alaska law, ANCs must reach a two-thirds majority of all outstanding shares to enact amendments to our articles of incorporation unless certain exceptions apply. However, Alaska corporations, non-ANC corporations that were formed after 1989 only require 50% plus one majority of the outstanding shares to approve articles of amendment. The two-thirds majority requirement is an outdated rule that can disadvantage ANCs and our shareholders. The two-thirds majority requirement is a hurdle that ANCs face when considering these amendments due to declining quorum counts. And please note, for Doyon, quorum counts are also impacted by our ongoing enrollment of new shareholders. For ANCs, quorum counts rarely meet this high threshold, and because of this, ANCs face mountains when undertaking opportunities to evolve and advance, and these mountains are high when compared with newer Alaska corporations. HB 123 would update this antiquated system and bring ANCs up to the 1980s. HB 123 would place ANCs on a level playing field with Alaska corporations formed after July 1st, 1989, where the standard for corporate law under current statute AS 10.06.504A would also apply to Alaska Native corporations, and ANCs could amend their articles according to the 50% plus one quorum. Again, after celebrating 50 years of ANCSA, many ANCs are currently revisiting or considering modernizing our articles of incorporation, so the passage of HB 2123 is critical and timely. Thank you for your work on behalf of Alaska and the consideration of this legislation.
Thank you very much for your testimony this morning. That's all I see that we have online, and I don't think that anyone else is here to testify on HB 123, so I will go ahead and close public testimony for HB 123. Are there any questions or comments regarding HB 23 from members? Representative Mears.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the background and code citations from the testifiers, and I think it picks a pretty good picture. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay. Well, I will then entertain a motion to move this bill from committee.
Thank you, Chair McCormick. I move House Bill 123, Work Order 33-LS-0450/S from committee with attached zero fiscal note.
Is there any objection? Hearing none, HB 23 passes from committee. Let me find my page here. So, just in wrap up, I just want to let folks know we will be having a second hearing on HB 70 with invited testimony, and then we'll also be having presentations on the from the Department of Corrections and the Department of Public Safety next week, and we'll probably add some other items to the agenda as well. But I'm going to go ahead and call this a meeting adjourned, but I would ask members to stick around to sign some of the bills that we passed out of committee. I call this meeting adjourned at 8:33 a.m.